Our missions emphasis month. If you're a first-time visitor here, we've been talking about our missions commitment the last few weeks and made pledges last week. If you weren't here last Sunday and you're a member, a part of North Point, and you weren't able to make a missions commitment for the year, we ask that you do that. We're right around a little over $2,000 a month pledged towards missions, and our goal is $2,500. There are quite a few that weren't here last Sunday, so we're trusting that you're going to make that pledge this morning. And at the end of the service, there will be a couple of receptacles back at the door that you can just drop your missions pledge in and make it that way if you haven't already dropped it in the offering plate. There should be a card in your bulletin this morning to help you facilitate that. So if you would take care of that, we would greatly appreciate it. We're going to wrap up our series on missions this week, this Sunday morning. And I wanted to start out by talking. I read an article not too long ago that said 10 things your missionary will never tell you. How many of you have ever been on a missions trip here? Anybody? I know we've got quite a few that have been on missions trips, and they're wonderful experiences, and they're great for the 2 weeks that you're there. But if you have to spend longer than 2 weeks, things kind of change a little bit. It gets a little bit hard, and a missionary wrote something called 10 Things Your Missionary Won't Tell You. I want to share them with you in the hopes that you'll understand what our missionaries go through on a regular basis. And number one, most of the time, living in another culture is hard. We live in a culture that we're all familiar with and that we're all kind of down with. You know, we know what should be done and what shouldn't be done. But little things like in Japan, you don't leave a tip with your meal. In Germany, you don't talk with your hands in your pockets. There's all kinds of little social cues and things like that. Looking in the eyes in some cultures, looking somebody in the eyes is considered offensive in some cultures. And, you know, they've got to navigate all of these different cultural values and cues that they have in their lives. Secondly, it's lonely and sometimes you feel forgotten. I can't imagine what it would be like to leave everything behind and to go on to a trip on the mission field. And, they asked missionaries, what's the hardest part of being a missionary? And they replied, loneliness. We feel like we're all alone sometimes. When you're home and you're getting sent away and you're raising funds, you get lots of attention, you get lots of prayer and that kind of thing. But once you're on the field, it's a little bit different. How many of you ever, well, you don't need to raise your hands on this, but how many of you ever been to college? I remember I never felt so lonely as in my first year of college. I remember calling home frequently, and those were in the days when you didn't have cell phones. Back in the days of no cell phones, each floor had a pay phone on it. And I had to save up my quarters and my nickels and my dimes so I could call home just to hear my mom's voice, just to hear my dad's voice on the phone, just kind of made that loneliness even worse. So close and yet so far. But our missionaries experience loneliness on their trips across the seas. Number three, we are normal people. They said, you know, they have the same struggles that you and I have. They have bouts where they struggle with sin. They have bouts when they struggle with their relationships. You know, one missionary wrote and he said, sometimes I get angry with my wife. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. Sometimes I do. And they're just normal people like you and I. They go through the same troubles and difficulties that you and I go through and have to deal with them on a regular basis. Number four, they never have enough money, but they feel guilty asking for it. Can I tell you a little secret? Most missionaries are A, not comfortable asking for funds for themselves, and B, they're usually not real good at it because that's not their thing. They're not professional fundraisers. They're missionaries. Excuse me. And in order to get on the field, there's this crazy thing, you know, plane ticket. They charge money to missionaries for plane tickets to get to their field. They charge them for that. They charge them rent on the houses that they live in. They charge them for food and for transportation, all that stuff. All of the same expenses that you and I have, they have, and they've got to raise their fund. In the Assemblies of God, you have to raise your funds before you get on the field. And if you can't raise your funds, you can't go. because we don't want to have to bail a missionary out somehow. You can't spend money you don't have. That was a revelation for somebody here this morning. You can't spend money you don't have, and they don't like raising funds. Usually they don't. Number five, we feel like our children got shortchanged by our decision. I can't imagine having to bundle up my kids at a young age and even an older age and sending them off to a school that they have to, that you see them maybe a couple times a month in order to visit with them. That's a reality for many missionaries, or to special schools that cater to the English speaking world, or, you know, all the different things that happen there. We take for granted West Ottawa won their first conference championship this week. And that was exciting for everybody that goes to West Ottawa. Sorry, Chicks and Ducks, we're talking about West Ottawa this morning. But, it's exciting for kids to get dressed up and go to prom and all of those things that happen. Most missionary kids don't get to experience that. That's kind of a distant memory for them. They don't even have football over there. Can you imagine? No football over there in many of the places that they go. Number six, I feel guilty when I'm blessed. This is a real struggle for missionaries that they have, because they're raising funds to do ministry, but they have needs just like you and I do. I read one missionary told me about an instance when they received an inheritance from their parents that had passed away, which is a whole nother thing when you lose family members when you're overseas. But they received an inheritance, and they decided that they were going to take a trip to Disneyland, which for some of us, that's kind of not a big deal. But they had to think long and hard about it. They thought thoughts like, what if word gets back to my supporters that I'm taking trips to Disneyland and it looks like I'm taking it on their dime? And, you know, what will that do to my support? All of those thoughts go through their mind because they're human just like you and I, and they struggle with that sometimes. Number seven, we sometimes feel like we're judged by a different standard. One missionary talked about a time when he sat before a missions board and they wanted to know how many spirit baptisms they had had and how many people had been saved. And he kind of turned it around and said, well, I'd like to know how many spirit baptisms have been had in this church and how many people have been saved in this church. And there was a stony silence, because they get judged by a little different standard sometimes than other people do. Number eight, saying goodbye stinks. When you are a missionary, you say goodbye a lot. You say goodbye to your family. You say goodbye to elderly parents that you don't know if you're ever going to see them again in this life. You say goodbye to your children because they get older and they come back to the United States to go to school and to begin their life. And so you say goodbye to them. There's a very tight-knit missionary community in most places that our missionaries go, of all denominations and all backgrounds. And they have to say goodbye to close, good friends on a regular basis as they term out or get assigned to another field or something like that. And saying goodbye can take a toll on you, an emotional toll on you, and therefore they have to deal with that on a regular basis. Going home is hard. It's hard to come back home. Just logistically, our missionaries usually have to come home every 4 to 5 years to report to the churches, to raise new support, to get some R&R and that kind of thing. But coming home is hard. First of all, it's logistically hard. Can you imagine every 3 or 4 or 5 years having to pack up everything you own, find a place to store it or sell it, and then coming back to the United States, finding a car for 6 to 8 months or a year, finding a place to live, finding furniture, all of that kind of stuff, and then on top of that, traveling to another church every single Sunday and Wednesday night to try to raise more support. Frankly, it's more work for a missionary to come home than it is for them to stay on the field. And that's just a hard reality of their life. Going back home is hard. And then finally, they feel like they constantly have to prove themselves. And this is more of an internal thing. It's really not anything that most people put on them that are supporting them and stuff. But if you're responsible, if someone is supporting you, if someone is giving you their hard-earned money to do your work, and you're not seeing many results because the field is hard, because there's resistance to the gospel, there are some places in this world where if you get one convert in 10 years, you're doing a good job. It's just so hard and so resistant to the gospel that, you know, and then there's other places where you put a church sign out front and the church is full the next Sunday. It just doesn't make any sense sometimes how all of that works. But there's a pressure when you're kind of spending other people's money to prove yourself and make sure that you're doing enough. How many of you ever have that problem in your own life? Am I doing enough? Am I keeping faith with those that are supporting me? And so, you know, our missionaries are, that's why I say missionaries are my heroes. They lead a very difficult life. They have a great burden to bear. And frankly, whenever we have these missions conventions and we raise our support for that missionary for the next year, I stand up here and I think, you know, the least I could do is pledge, you know, a significant amount of my income to their ministry, because they're doing what I cannot do. They're doing what I would find burdensome to do. And 99.9% of our missionaries do it with joy. They're not complainers. They would do it all over again. They love the Lord. They love the people that they're ministering to, whether it's teen challenge workers. Talk about another culture going into the world of drugs and alcoholism and that kind of thing. Or whether it's a remote tribe in Africa or into the godless European culture that's there today. They really do their work with joy, and they love what their calling is, and they love what they're doing. So the real trick becomes staying connected with our missionaries. And I hope that we don't ever get to the point where we get through our missions convention, our missions month, and we say to ourselves, wow, I'm glad that's over. You know what I mean? I'm glad that's over. We don't have to hear about missions for another month. I want us to keep our connection, and that is something that we can do. Now, it takes two to make a connection, I understand that, but the burden is on us to stay connected with our missionaries, and I would like to suggest there's three things that we can do to stay connected with our missionaries on the field, and number one is pray. We had a prayer meeting dedicated just to our missionaries. I put out the word of all the missionaries on my list. I think there's 40 or 50 missionaries on my email list that I have. And I put out a call that said, we're going to pray for you on Wednesday, October, whatever it was, 19th, I think it was. We're going to have the whole service dedicated to praying for you. Send us your prayer request that can be publicly announced. Because some of them live in places where it's dangerous for them to kind of publicize what they're doing. And they're very careful about their email and that kind of thing and the web and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, send me your prayer requests that you can publicly announce. And I got 19 pages of prayer requests. And all of them said pretty much the same thing. Thank you for praying. We need your prayers. We need you to pray for us. You know, the first missionaries that were sent out in Acts chapter 13, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. First three verses of it talk about the first missionary commissioning service between Paul and Barnabas and some other people that were there. It says, among the prophets and the teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manamon, and a companion, and Saul, who later became Paul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. Our missionaries are set apart for a special work that God has called them to. Just all of the things I've just talked about, all of the burdens they have to bear, are all things that they do with gladness, but it is a special work. Can you tell I hold missionaries in high esteem? Is that evident this morning? I think they're awesome. I think they're great. And God said, set them apart for the special work which I have called them to. Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. Talk about culture shock. He had lived in this Jewish world all of his life where everything was ordered and everything was kind of laid out on how you're supposed to live your life, how you're supposed to talk, how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to eat. Everything is kind of laid out for you. And then he gets tossed into, well, he willingly walks into, this Gentile culture that is full of paganism and deviant sexual practices and all kinds of other lying, cheating, stealing, you know, all that kind of stuff. Worship of false gods, multiple gods that they're worshiping. All of this stuff, he's kind of tossed into it. And it's a special work that God had called him to do. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. The missions movement of the world was bathed in prayer. It was prayer that got them through it. It was prayer that brought them through it. It was prayer that made them sustained and stayed on the field. And folks, I hope that you have... I've got reminders all over my office of missionaries that have asked me to pray for them. If you ever go in my office, feel free to go in my office, by the way. It's right there. It's open. And you can have a little piece of candy when you go in. If you don't eat it, I will or George will. So you got to... You can help us out by doing that. But there are little mementos. I've got a little coffee maker from the Dominican Republic. I've got a little elephant from Thailand. I've got all of these little knickknacks, and they all are from a missionary that were given to me to support them and to remember them in prayer. I've got coffee mugs with missionaries' names on it, and I kind of use different ones all the time. When I have coffee, I remember that missionary and pray for them. We need to pray for our missionaries regularly, and whenever missionaries come, they always bring a prayer card. Every good missionary has a prayer card. And you need to pick those up and take them with you and put them somewhere where you're going to see it so that you're reminded to pray for them. And, you know, I don't necessarily mean, you know, spend an hour on your knees just interceding for them every day. Although if you're into that kind of thing, that's great. I mean, you should do that occasionally. But just breathing a word of prayer. God bless the McLeans in Poland today. Help them as they have this unique ministry of hunt clubs. They're part of a hunting club. They're the chaplain on a hunting club, and they're able to reach many for Christ in that context. God, we pray for Kurt Holtis and the Hope Ministries in the Dominican Republic as he brings relief and aid to those people that are there. Be with Marty and Brenda Roman in Benin, West Africa, as they have Cotonou Kids and minister to street children, little kids that have been kicked out of their homes. They give them a place to sleep at night that's safe and a meal every day and a shower and school supplies so that they can get on with their life and they're protected at night and all. You know, just breathing a prayer of blessing on them on a regular basis. And that does something else for you too. It keeps you connected in that you're remembering them and you're praying for them, and you probably will want to know more about what they're doing. You know, don't hesitate. Every prayer card usually has an email address on there. And then write them and keep it short. Don't ask them to send you stuff. I hear they got really cool ivory in Ethiopia, and I'd like you to send me some. First of all, it's illegal, and secondly, it's tacky to ask for it. But just say, I prayed for you today. Just those few words in an email can make the difference in a missionary's life at that moment in time. Who knows what they're going through? Who knows what God has placed in their path? And to know that somebody back home is praying for them and just said the word, God bless them today. God be with them today. It makes all the difference in the world. So pray for your missionaries. It's a great way to keep connected to them. I'm going to skip ahead, Eric, so be alert here. Connected by giving. Not only are we connected by prayer, but we are connected by giving to them. We're connected when we give unto them on a regular basis. Some of you may wonder, why do we take up pledges so that, you know, why can't we just give? Well, it helps us understand, first of all, who is committed to giving to missions on a regular basis so that we can tell our missionaries, we're going to support you for $50 a month. We're going to support you for $60 a month. We're going to support you for $25 a month. We've got all of these decisions that we have to make, and we need to know what your heart is, what your commitment level is, in order for us to make intelligent decisions. I do not want to tell a missionary we're going to support you and then have to write that letter, which we've never had to do, by the way, but have to write that letter that says there's no money in our missions fund this month, sorry, because they still have to pay their rent. They still have to pay for their food. They still have to pay for transportation. They have to still pay for all of the expenses that they have. And by the way, living overseas is usually much more expensive than living in the United States, especially for what you get. Did you know that a lot of our missionaries have to time their internet time so that they can have it on when the power's on? We would have fits if that happened. Every night at 10 o'clock or thereabouts, the power goes off. You know, we would just have fits if that happened to us. But they have to build their life around that kind of unpredictability, and they have to pay their electric bill also, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So connected by giving, in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine what you get back." Those are some powerful words by Jesus Christ. He's talking about our spirit of generosity. He's talking about how much we're willing to trust God to return to us that which we give. Sandy and I have given to missions ever since we were married. We've never missed a payment because we've never had to miss a payment. It's always been there. God provides for us the ability to give. How many of you trust God to provide for your needs? Oh, good. That's almost 100%. That's good. If we trust God to provide for our needs, then why don't we trust God to provide for what we said we'd give? Isn't that a need also? It's a need for the missionary. It may not be our need, but it's a need for the missionary. And that's important too. We need to live our lives for others. So we need to make sure that we give because God has promised to supply our needs. In 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, he says, "Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." I hope that I've never pressured anybody to give beyond what they think they should give. I trust the Holy Spirit to make that real to every heart. No one here can ever say that Pastor Joe called them and said, "Look, I noticed that your pledge was a little weak. I mean, I noticed you got a new car this year, man. Come on. If you can afford a new car, you can afford to give a little more to missions, can't you?" Number one, you'd probably leave the church before the door got closed. And number two, that would be wrong of me to do. That's up to the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I will say this, you better obey the Holy Spirit. Because he will prove himself true in everything that you do and everything that he says to do. He says, each of you must decide in your heart how much to give. I hope that you pray over this. I hope that you've asked God. I began telling you weeks ago, begin praying now what you should do for missions. Begin praying now for what you should give. Get a number in mind. Bring it to God. Say, "Is this it? Is this what you want me to give?" And let him speak to you about it. I just believe God still speaks to us. I believe that if we calm down and listen a little bit, God will speak to us about those kinds of things. He wants us to determine in our own hearts so that we're convinced and the Holy Spirit is pleased by what we give. For God loves a cheerful giver. Do you give cheerfully this morning? Are you able to make out that pledge card with a cheerful countenance on your face? And you know, I've said before, God loves a cheerful giver, but we will accept money from grouches. Don't know why I said that. And then God will generously provide all that you need. And then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I'm kind of a fan of a Facebook page. It's called Simplify. I think it's called Simplify. It's called The Simple Life, something like that. And it's urging people to get rid of stuff they don't need, stuff that they don't use, to cut down on their junk and their stuff, and you know, to save money and to be more simple in the way that we live. And one of the things they say is the more stuff you have, the more worries you have. How many of you know that that's true? You know, you got all of this stuff, and that needs to be maintained, and that needs to be taken care of. And if I don't use this, it's going to cost me money, and you know, on and on it goes. And pretty soon, your stuff begins to control you instead of you controlling your stuff. If you are saying these words on a regular basis, "I'd like to, but..." "I'd like to come to church more, but..." "I'd like to give more to missions, but..." "I'd like to tithe, but..." You need to re-examine your priorities. Now, sometimes there's legitimate things that are in there that just prevent you from doing it. Some of you, I don't want my doctor to take a day off. I want the hospital staffed on Sunday just in case the big one comes on Sunday. You know, I want doctors and nurses there. Just covering all my bases. Sometimes there's legitimate reasons why you can't be in church, why you can't give. You know, there are legitimate. But most of them, can I just say this? Most of them are bogus. Most of them are just stuff that we let control us. Instead of taking control of our finances and doing what God wants us to do, we let them get control of us. And we say, boy, I'd like to, but don't let that get a hold of you. Don't let that be part of your life. Keep in contact with your missionaries by giving. Keep those gifts and things going. And then this third one is something that God set on my heart. When I first came to this church, God began speaking to me about sending out missionaries and pastors. And we've been doing that, especially the last several years. We've been sending out pastors, raising them up, just kind of training them and then sending them out into ministry, keeping them here in ministry, whatever it is. I don't even know the number of missionaries and people that we've sent out. But we've got a bunch of people that God has placed His hand upon and said, I'm calling you, I'm setting you apart, I have a job for you, a special job that I have for you that I want you to fulfill. I'm asking God to continue to do that. I believe that there might be some people here right now that God is placing on your heart to be a missionary, to be a pastor, to be a minister of the gospel in some way or in some form. Now, I know we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to be gospel presenters. But I'm talking about someone set aside for the office of missionary, for the office of pastor, that God is speaking to your heart and beginning to say, that's what I want for you. If that's you, would you come and talk to me about it? We can discuss it. We can talk to it. I'm not going to sign you up on the dotted line right there and make you committed to become a missionary. But I want to explore that with you. It's good to bounce it off other people and see how they feel about it and take some steps in making that happen. Romans 10, 14 and 15, it says this. How can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? How can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? How can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the Scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. I want North Point to be a church that doesn't just support missionaries, but we send missionaries. We've been doing that. We're going to continue to do that. I want to see people that call North Point their home church when they go to other churches to raise support. They can say, I was raised in Pentecost at North Point Assembly of God. He called me to the ministry. They're supporting me and they're sending me out to do the ministry. Pam Austin is home from Africa, Tanzania. And she is so rooted in that place that she can't wait to get back. But she's home now, one of our homegrown missionaries. There are others that have been here that we've raised up and sent out. And God wants to do that again. He wants to do it again. He wants to do it in your life. He wants to do it in my life. He wants to do it in other people's lives. And if you've had that feeling that God is calling you to ministry, talk to me about it. I want to hear about it. We'll see what we can come up with together. Because there are millions of ways, well, maybe not millions, there are lots of ways that you can do missions work besides just the conventional kind of missionary work. Randy Mirren, who was here just a few weeks ago, was pastoring a church. And God spoke to him and said, you're to reach out to the refugees here in the Detroit area. So he resigned his position. He just started the ministry and then got the blessing of the Assemblies of God to do it. I wouldn't recommend that, by the way, but that's the way he did it. And now he's reaching out, and that ministry is growing day by day. You know, it's something that he doesn't really even have to leave his home for. He's still living in the same house, but he's doing a completely different thing that really I don't know of anybody that's doing what he's doing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19, this is my final piece of scripture I'm going to read to you. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our call. That's what we're called to do. If you can't go, give. And by the way, I don't know if you realize this or not, but our missionaries that were here before, that Sunday when we had four missionaries, they gave. They gave to this church's missions program. Missionaries are givers. They know what it means to be a giver. They know what it's like to contribute towards that. And we're all to go. We're all to have that call upon our lives. But some are called to that special call. So I'd like you to stand with me this morning. We're going to close a little bit differently than we normally do. But if God is speaking to your heart this morning, I just want you to confirm that in your life and in your heart. And then just come up to me afterwards and say, Pastor, I think God might be calling me to missions work, to pastoral work. I want to talk to you about it. And we'll discuss it. We'll set a date to get together and talk about it and see what God is saying to you and how you can fulfill that. But before we do, let's just pray, shall we? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I just feel like maybe somebody's here that's never even given their life to Christ this morning. And you need to do that before you do anything else. God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. He wants you to serve Him with all of your heart. If that's you this